I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
All right, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for, once again, your love and your mercy towards us. And as we now go to the book of Proverbs and talk about the issue of our appetites, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to have all things under your control. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the verse from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 19 to 21. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be a heavy drinker, or be with heavy drinkers of wine, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Well, there you go. So I'll go home now. No, kidding. I think we better unpack all of that, shall we? Amen. We want to talk, first of all, about this. I believe that the Bible is, in fact, our owner's manual. We're not the owner. God's the owner. We've been created by God, and we've been bought. Then he bought us back, so we've been bought with a price. And so if I'm trying to sort out how to live my life, I ought to ask the one who created me. He's got it figured out. Now, I have a picture of this old boat, right? Now, that's not really a very seaworthy vessel, right? Having a hard time keeping the water out, I would imagine. And if someone told you, hey, by the way, you got to take this from San Francisco to Hawaii, I wouldn't even take it from here to Lucerne, you know, really. And ultimately, whether written or unwritten, that craft would have had some kind of owner's manual. Here's how to keep the water out. And so occasionally what you need to do is drag that craft up on a dry dock and scrape the bottom, re-caulk it, reseal it. If you leave it out to the elements, it will look like that. It looks kind of cool looking, but it's not seaworthy. I have a car, and now modern cars have the wonderful thing, a computer on board that tells you all the stuff you're supposed to do. So it's the owner's manual put into a software package. And it will flash lights saying, time to change the oil. Or your wiper fluid's out. Well, you know, they're not the same. If I don't change my wiper fluid, it's not going to impact the life of the car. Maybe my life because of bugs and stuff. But ultimately this, if I decide I'm not going to pay attention to the warnings about changing my oil, I don't care how brilliant I am. I don't care how holy I am. I don't care about anything other than that is that the owner's manual, the people who understand this engine, knows that if you don't change the oil, it's going to impact the life of that engine. Period. Even if you're a Christian. Well, maybe God will just make my engine immune to those things because I'm a believer. I don't have to change my oil. Wouldn't that, that'd be convenient for me, really. Tires is another one. Boy, I hate changing. I'm buying tires. But it's part of the own. When it gets beyond a certain amount, it's not safe anymore. And so the issue is this. In our lives, we realize that the Bible, and here in the book of Proverbs, it's very, very clear, even gets right in our face about this issue, that God is the owner, and he's got an owner's manual. If you want to have a life that's blessed, here's how to look at life. There are some fairly significant warnings. It tells us in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, "But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day comes upon you suddenly like a trap." So there are things in our life, and here we find in the book of Proverbs, interesting enough, it pairs two things together, drunkenness and gluttony. Drunkenness and gluttony. Here's the definition of gluttony. Gluttony is a craving, is having a craving for food that conquers or controls you. Now, we know what drunkenness is. It's drinking so much wine or liquor of some kind that you're out of control. That's drunkenness. And the Bible says, don't do that. But it also says, don't be a glutton. Augustine put it this way, "Food was not the problem, but how we sought for it and for what reason." A man named Peter DeVries put it this way, "Gluttony is an emotional escape, a sign of something is eating us." Ben Franklin said, "In general, mankind, since the improvement of cookery, eats twice as much food as nature requires." And then Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher, "I believe that gluttony is as much a sin in the sight of God as drunkenness." C.S. Lewis put it this way, "The problem of gluttony was not too much food, but too much attention to food." In the broadest ethical sense, gluttony is using food in a way that dulls us from the spiritual and distract us from God. That makes sense. Here's a question today. Who's in control of your life? If you think, I can't make it throughout the day without the next drink, then there's a problem. If you have a sense, boy, I can't even think of the sermon because, man, I'm thinking of that pot roast, then you may have a problem. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, "For all that is of the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of possessions is not from the Father but from the world." So we want to issue then is that if in fact the solution, and I want to spend more time on the solutions than on the problems. I can talk about all the statistics of how many people die from alcoholism. I can tell you about my uncle who died of cirrhosis of the liver. I can tell you about stories of my great-grandfather who had to be drug out of the Buckhorn Saloon in Covelo by my granddad. I can tell you about my story of my doctor telling me, hey, if you don't lose some weight, you're going to be 80 years old with tubes in your nose and you'll be hating your life. But I want to talk about what the solutions can be. Because here's the problem, I don't need to say, if you have a problem, if you can't make it through this day without a drink, if you just say, I can't do it, or without a cigarette, or without, hey man, I'm going to gorge myself on food, then something's amiss. All right? So that's what the book of Proverbs says. Here's some definitions I think that are important. First of all, it tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, "When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food." So here's the word, a person given or controlled by their appetite. Right. And I'm not going to give those who are struggling with alcohol or alcoholism a pass on this. I'm going to talk specifically about the issue of appetites that control us. Right? I know this, is that I got this little dog, a Pomeranian. She's the cutest thing. But I was in an ice cream parlor holding my ice cream, and I was talking to some people, and when I was doing that, she's eating my ice cream. Now, how wrong is that? Because she's a dog. I mean, there's no, the self-control thing, there's no class in self-control for dogs. It's like, hey, here's my opportunity to have a lick of ice cream. You know? So I scraped off that part and ate the rest of it. No, I probably did. I can't remember. I don't know. That's just me. Let me give you some definitions. Hunger is the stomach's feeling of discomfort caused by a lack of food intake. Hunger. God gave you that as a blessing. I'm hungry, need some food, right? Your house is cold, you got a fireplace, put some wood in it, and it warms it up. Hunger, you eat, hunger goes away. But your appetite is a strong desire or liking for food or drink, whether you're hungry or not. And here's a question. Are you controlled by your appetites? I want it, I'm going to do it. I deserve it. I deserve a break today, so go up and get away to McDonald's. The people selling stuff to us understand it. You deserve this. Friends, that's not a natural hunger. That's an appetite. And here's what I got to say. If you get nothing else from the sermon, we must submit our appetites to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, whether they be for food or sexual appetites or whatever it may be. They have to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or it says here, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one in rags. If we don't submit these appetites to the Lord, we'll come to poverty. That doesn't mean you're going to lose money. Maybe it will be, but your soul is going to come to poverty. Appetite is a God-given gift when used in the way He intended, to satisfy the body's need for food. However, your appetite is out of control if you're eating often when your body is not physically hungry. I think one of the big reasons people eat too much is they're just bored. And they say, well, I deserve it. I mean, you already ate dinner, right? So then you go and do a wandering through the kitchen. What is there, you know? There's nothing in here. Well, good. All right? So no, I got to figure out in my own life, because I lost 16 pounds already, almost 17, but I think I gained it back yesterday. That's all right. But I'm on the right path, all right? So here's the thing. It is about, and I'll get this in a moment, it's about yes and no. It's the question of yes and no in your life. And so we want to talk about that. Realize this, is that the Bible warns us about being given to our appetites. And I believe this, if our appetites for whether it be wine or women or song or food, if we don't have those under control, it will impact our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with our family and our friends, the impact of our ministry, and each one of us has a ministry, the pursuit of your dreams and receiving joy from the use of your talents. So when the doctor told me several months ago, and it's okay to pick on myself because I can take it, you know. Easier for me to pick on myself than pick on you. We're all in this together. But when my doctor said, you want to be 80 years old with tubes in your nose and hating your life, I said, no, I got a lot of dreams. Sue and I have a lot of dreams. We don't know what the next 30 years will bring, but I have a lot of things I'd like to accomplish for the Lord and together with my wife and family and all of you. And to somehow think that if I just put my appetites ahead of all of that, that it somehow won't impact it, the Bible says It will bring me, my soul, to a place of poverty. And so some of you maybe are in that place of poverty today. I want to give you hope. All right. So how do we do this? First of all, I believe that refusing to submit to God concerning food and our appetites is ultimately a manifestation of pride. It is, I'm the king, you're not. I'll eat whatever I want. I'll drink whatever I want because I need this. No, you don't. You need what the master says you need. And I think, once again, the Bible lumps together drunkenness and gluttony because it is the misuse of something God gave for good. So how do we win the battle? First of all, it's a question of yes and no. It can't be just no. Here's all the stuff I cannot do. I will not do. Because that's how the world sees Christians for the main part. You guys are just living a lousy life. All the stuff you can't do. You know, I'd rather go to hell and have fun with my friends down there. I've heard that before. That's nuts. Friends, what we need to do is the big yes, and that is the yes that God is in control of all things. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. It is saying yes to Him. The nearness to God is my good. The nearness to God is my joy. We must pursue God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first solution. Is saying yes to Him. Here's what's interesting enough, how the Lord says this in Psalm 34:8. Taste, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire the sincere spiritual food of His Word. Spiritual milk. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. Come to me and you will not hunger. Isaiah 55:1-2. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and sell. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for which is not bread and labor for that which is not satisfied? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. It's talking about a spiritual thing. And interesting enough, it uses the metaphor of love and food. He said, listen, love God. I love food. Man, I've had some fine food. And I can make pretty fine food, you know. But I remember me being at a restaurant in San Francisco, and they brought out this stuffed quail. It was stuffed with truffles and all kinds of stuff. Had this glaze, this stuff on it. Man, it was the perfect bite of food. Perfect, beautiful. And I gave God the glory. Thank you, Lord, for this stuffed quail, you know. Then for dessert, they had this puffed, it was like a chocolate, bittersweet chocolate souffle. You had to tell them ahead of time because it took 20 minutes to make it. And then, you know, they want to do it so it comes out perfect. Perfect food. But here's the thing. God said, Gary, I want you to be as enthusiastic about me as you are about that food. I want you to be more enthusiastic about me than the next drink of wine or whatever. That's what the Lord is saying. Who do you love more? Who do you depend on more? And if your dependence is on alcohol or food for joy, then something's amiss. You understand? Something's wrong. And it's going to end not only for you, but those around you in poverty of the soul. So the first thing is to focus on the Lord and say yes to Him. I love what Pastor John Piper said. The main way to fight cravings that we don't want is to experience a higher craving and have them master us. Have them master us. You know, I love when we have reservations for a fine restaurant, but I'm anticipating looking at that menu. I even go on and look at the menu ahead of time. And we talk about, what are you going to order? If you order this, it's kind of fun, right? But here's what the Lord is saying. Gary, I want you to feel that way about your quiet time. Can't wait to get up in the morning to feed on the trough of God's blessings. That's the solution. That's what the Lord desires. But we have to realize this. As believers, we must have our saying yes to Him be what defines us. It can't be, well, here's the list of things I can't do. No, here's the list, here's what the Lord has said, and He's going to provide everything I need. When life is not satisfying or stimulating, relationships feel empty, work is a bore, but food is always there and tastes so good. It's the one thing we can count on. Boy, if I just went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, and I like that original, you know, I like the skin off of it. It's nice. It'll kill me, right? I'm going, man, hold me back. We need to cultivate a range of appetites from great to good things. Things like literature, spending time with friends, reading our Bibles, walk in nature, our hard work. Friends, we're addicted to the wrong, we're driven by the wrong things. So that's the first one, is saying yes to God, our focus. Next is seeing our life from God's perspective. The text of Scripture that holds out a challenge to me is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. Here's what it says. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by any of them. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is not for food. But God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but the Lord is for the body. Now God has only raised, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Do you not know that our bodies are members of Christ? Or do you not know that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So Paul says, hey, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable, right? So when you sit down to eat and have one helping, have it satisfy your hunger. But you don't have to eat everything on the table. Watch out for smorgasbords, you know, because I remember as a high school kid, I think we put a smorgasbord, Fjord Smorget in Ukiah. I mean, we put them out of business because we would have to lose weight to make, you know, some of the wrestlers would have to lose weight and they get weighed in. And then we would all go down the Fjord Smorget, $3.99, you know, and we'd just wipe them out. I mean, every piece of chicken is gone, you know. So the issue is it says here, that's not how to live your life. It goes on to say in verse 23 and following, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you'll win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do as receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way and not without aim. I box in such a way is not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. I will not be enslaved by anything. I'm going to have discipline over this body because if I don't, I'll be disqualified. And friends, I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to be disqualified, nor do you. Because of your appetites. You're not an animal. You're created in God's image. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 says, warning about a certain group of leaders that had cropped up. It says, their end is destruction and their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, their mind set on earthly things. The word their God is their belly is kolos, which means hollow. There's a hollow spot that they think, that's what I got to fill, and that's my obligation to myself. If I have a hollow spot, I'm going to fill it. I want it, I get it. It's a hollow place. So it says, God, their God has become their stomach. And obviously there's a problem with that. They're guided only by what satisfies and pleases the self. Instead of saying, Lord, what do you want? Pastor Steve Cole, who I've gotten to know over the years, said they live for selfish and sensual pleasures rather than denying self in order to live for Christ. The Bible does not promote asceticism, the self-imposed denial of all pleasures as a means of purifying oneself and getting right with God. Rather, it teaches that God has richly supplied us with all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. But if we remove God from the center as the chief object of our joy and replace it with some earthly pleasures, we are guilty of idolatry. Friends, if you can't make it through the day without gorging yourself or having a drink, then it's got undue impact on your life. It's controlling you. It's idolatry. I get it. It's been a long time since I've struggled with desire for drunkenness. It happened for myself when I was a teenager. And I praise God that I've been delivered from that. But it's not delivered me from other appetites that have to be given over to the Lord on a daily basis. So we're first supposed to say yes to God, next see our life from God's perspective that we've been bought with a price. It says this in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If your next drink or bite of food is what you live for, then something's messed up. And the last thing here, I think, is the issue of prayer. And I think each one of us, we need to learn to begin our day with a sense of the realities that are set before us. Many temptations, many of our own limitations. We have blind spots, we have weaknesses that all have to be given over to the Lord. We're fragile, we're frail. We can get tired, we can get worked up. All kinds of things. And so we must start the day, and I would say end the day, with prayer. Here's a prayer. Lord, I'm giving myself to you today, not to my appetites. You said that if I lack wisdom to ask you, and you will give me liberally and without reproach. Open up my spiritual eyes so that I can see any way I'm making provision for my old habits, and show me a new way to make it easier to eat or drink in a way that pleases you, in a way that is balanced. Romans 2, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So I think that we need to start our day and end our day with saying, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, I belong to you. Please help me. Grant me wisdom so that I may live a life that brings blessing to you and those around me. Matthew chapter 6 says this, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you will eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what is you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Then he gives the examples of birds of the field and lilies and stuff. Then he says these important words. All these things, verse 32 and 33, 32 and 33. All these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Friends, God's promised to provide everything we need. The problem we get into, and the book of Proverbs hits it time and time again, when we allow our appetites to be ahead of God, then our appetites become the king. And we become king because we're controlled by our appetites. He's the king, and we're not. And so we need to say yes to him. We need to see life through his perspective. We've been bought with a price. We're not going to allow our body to be in charge. We're going to, you know, to be under with self-control. And then we're going to be people of prayer. Now, the last thing I would say is, for all of us, is to seek help and support. You need to have, if you're struggling with drink and or too much food or too much something that you know is compromising your spiritual walk, you're in bondage to it, then seek help. And I praise God that we have the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. Now, Celebrate Recovery talks about hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And then a whole lot of things. I mean, it's a Christian 12-step program that many say, well, I'm not going to go to that because I don't struggle with alcohol. I don't struggle with, you know, but we all struggle, right? So it may be the most helpful thing for you. Here's just some of the steps really quickly. We admit that we are powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives have become unmanageable. I know that nothing good lives in me, and that is my sinful nature. We see that from Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Next, number two is, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Number five, we admit to God, to ourselves, and to other human beings the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects from our character. Seven, we humbly ask him to remove all the shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Number nine, we made direct amends to such people, whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, we promptly admit it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. And lastly, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all of our affairs. Friends, this is from Scripture. That your life can be overrun and brought into a place of spiritual or soul poverty because you've allowed some appetite to be more important. And here's the great thing is that we know this, is that we can be new creatures in Jesus Christ, that we've been bought with a price. And I'd like to ask the people sharing around the table of communion, those who are helping me to serve today, if they'd come forward. Because without this table and what it represents, we'd all be lost. We'd just be like animals. But we're not. We're not only created by Christ, but we have been purchased back and renewed by Christ. And whatever thing that we think is holding us back, that, oh, I can't possibly conquer that, is a lie from hell itself. You can and are set free by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now as we go to this table. And we realize this, Lord, and we thank you for your forgiveness for the times we have allowed anything to be more important than you. Forgive us, Lord, for when we've allowed appetites or fears or insecurities to control us instead of you. Lord, we, as we go to this table, we once again remember that you've purchased us. You died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Help us, Lord, to live free, because that brings you glory. It makes us filled with joy, and we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. The fact that God is so patient with us, he loves us. He came to claim us and to reclaim us. So let's, as we take this, determine ourselves that we're going to walk in a manner worthy of what he's done for us. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Amen. If there was ever anyone who said no to his appetites, it's Jesus, who there in the garden, knowing that he would be heading towards the cross, says, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but your will. So that's how we're supposed to live our lives. Lord, not my will, but your will. Not my appetites, but your desire for me. Let me encourage you, if there's things that you're struggling with, and we all are, then even as you hold onto this cup, just talk with the Lord. Bring those before him. And the Lord is a God of forgiveness. As we've been bought with a price by the precious blood of Christ, let us determine in our lives then to put Him first in all things. And if we're wrestling with things and we feel that we're being tripped up by things, then we come to Him. And we take advantage of every spiritual asset that He has given, including the body of Christ, to help us live as free men and women. Let us do this in remembrance of Him. Amen. Let me encourage you on the way out. There's a special offering for those who have come to us with special needs financially. We'd ask, give as unto the Lord. And we're going to stand together and sing, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Lord, take us from here, having You each and every moment of our life as Lord and Savior. Oh Lord, help us to desire You more than all things. Help us to taste and see that You are good. We thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.